You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Today, many people own Bibles, but very few people read them. This is like a starving man having a sandwich, but never eating it.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
O Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, by Thy great power, cause a great hunger for Thy Word in our society. Move people to read and study the Bible. Enable those blinded by untruths and confused by man-centered philosophies to see Thee and Thee alone. Focus our eyes on the crucifixion cross. Rivet our gaze, O Lord, on the empty tomb. And direct our feet to Thy gates of eternal paradise. In Jesus' intercessory name we pray, amen. I must have read the Bible 7 times in the last 2 years. It never ceases to appall me. The Bible is a horrible thing. These statements made by a former magazine editor are blasphemous, and they would shock even the most disinterested. In recent years, this radical editor has helped poke fun of the New York Times and also the Wall Street Journal. Now gathering even more courage and armed with a new partner, this editor is planning to make fun of the Bible. According to news reports, their new book, Ridiculing the Bible, is now published. And these authors said that they are waiting their day of judgment. By this they mean they are waiting to see if their publishing investment sells well at the local bookstore. Bookstore sales may well prove to be a financial judgment, but the real judgment will come when these blatant blasphemers are eventually confronted by a holy and an angry God on His appointed day of judgment. For God will righteously demonstrate that the Holy Scriptures are not available to be used for sacrilege or financial gain. In the Bible, we read, and I quote, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." And in the book of Revelation, we have this warning, and I quote again, "If anyone adds to the Bible, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in the book." And if anyone, the Bible says, "If anyone takes away from the words of the book of prophecy, God shall take away from his part of life." Oh yes, if you mess with the Bible, and if you refuse to repent, then you shall automatically and forever close for yourself the eternal gates of paradise. You will automatically and permanently consign yourself forever to the pits of hell, a place where the weeping never stops and the fire never goes out. Of course, very few people are foolish enough to make fun of the divinely inspired Holy Scriptures. Yet, many people today are guilty of a similar abuse. Survey after survey indicates that most people own at least one Bible. Many homes have 5 or 6 of them. Family members almost always respect the Bible as a holy book. But tragically, few people ever read it regularly. George Gallup of the Gallup poll recently stated, "It's time to sound the alarm," he said. He also said that there is a, and I quote, a shocking lack of knowledge about the Bible. Buying a Bible and not reading it is like buying groceries and never eating them. Those who would do this eventually become spiritually weak, and many of them starve to death. Sure, most people consider themselves to be religious. Most everybody I know considers himself or herself to be religious. But even the most pagan tribes in the rainforest are religious, by man's distorted standards. However, with our epidemic-like lack of biblical knowledge of Jesus Christ, who gives us the certainty of joy through faith, it is no surprise that so many people today are, according to the Gallup survey, and I quote, hungry for depth and meaning in life. And so let your prayer at this hour be that God would give you a sincere desire to regularly read and study the life-giving and heaven-promising Holy Scriptures. Pray, yes, pray to possess the earnest and searching desire of the eunuch of Ethiopia. His diligent search and his exciting coming to faith in Jesus is recorded in the book of Acts in the Bible. His humble longing to understand the Word of God opened the door of faith so that he might receive a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. No, salvation is not merely a religious feeling. Salvation is not like seeing a beautiful sunset that merely provides warm and sentimental feelings for a moment. No, salvation is a never-ending certainty. It is a trusting in Jesus through God-given and Spirit-inspired knowledge of the Son of God. And so as you today begin your search, let the Ethiopian be your example for your life. This God-fearing man is described in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. He was an assistant to the Queen of Ethiopia. He was in charge of all her treasure. And on this day he was returning from Jerusalem where he had gone to worship. In verse 28 of the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, we read this, and I quote, "And he, the Ethiopian, was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah." This busy businessman was reading the Bible. This government official was eager to learn the truth, and he desperately wanted to know the central message of the Holy Book, which even today is still a bestseller. Yet the Ethiopian traveler was troubled. He was like some of us today. He could not understand certain portions of the Old Testament. At this moment, however, God sent the evangelist Philip, and God's Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join the chariot." This is what Philip obediently did. Then the heaven-sent evangelist asked the eager-to-learn Ethiopian this, "Do you understand what you are reading?" he asked. The eunuch answered and said, "How could I, unless someone guides me?" The Ethiopian was troubled by these words from the prophet Isaiah, and I quote, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth." Then the eunuch asked Philip, the evangelist, "Please tell me, of whom does this prophet say this?" Philip responded. Philip used the Bible as his basis and authority. He told the Ethiopian that the reference was to Jesus. He explained Jesus Christ to the inquisitive Ethiopian traveler. No, Philip did not waste time. By God's power and with a full conviction, he determined to clearly communicate the central message of the Holy Scriptures. Philip wanted the searching government official to see Jesus clearly as the long-awaited Savior of the world. Philip had been a member of the growing early Christian church, and the events of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection were still vivid in his mind. Philip was in a unique position, therefore, to correctly explain Jesus as the key to the entire Holy Scriptures. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you see, Jesus is the central figure of the Bible, to whom all of the Scriptures refer, and without whom the Bible itself would have absolutely no meaning or purpose. How sad it is today, then, to see many churches frantically busy, but they do not make the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified their central task. They get sidetracked. They become involved in other activities. Many of them come under the influence of popular worldly trends. They are like some libraries recently described in the Wall Street Journal. In addition to books, one New York library now lends out cameras, automobile analyzers, hedge trimmers, lawn tillers, and a variety of other tools. Some libraries have become public rental institutions instead of reliable sources for public education. In the same manner, some churches have become mere centers of frantic religious activity instead of centers which unashamedly teach and powerfully preach the crucified and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as you listen to this broadcast, you may be one of the many who has only a limited knowledge of the Bible. Prompted by God's Spirit, however, you may be desiring to know more. And so permit me to use this opportunity to encourage you to act today. Do like the Ethiopian government official and start reading your Bible. If you do not have one, then purchase an easy-to-read translation at the local bookstore. As soon as possible, look for some more help. There are most likely Christ-centered Bible study groups in your community. And if you are unaware of any, call a local church or a local Christian organization. I also strongly encourage you to write us, and we will strive to help you find a Christ-centered Bible study in your area. Bible study will change your life. It did it for the Ethiopian, and Bible study will do it for you also. You will learn firsthand of your blessed Redeemer. Many of your questions about religion will be answered. Your life will have more purpose and meaning, and you will learn from the sacred pages of the Holy Bible about God's great abiding love for you. God's Spirit will enable you to understand that God's love toward you never changes. For through faith in Jesus' sin-cleansing blood and the death-defeating resurrection, God graciously forgives all your wrongdoing. With that divine knowledge and empowered by God's renewing Spirit, you will be enabled to live a new life of joy in Jesus Christ. As you study and as you immerse your mind in the living Word, you will also receive strength to flee sin. You will receive strength to resist temptation and to avoid the lust of the flesh and the powers of this world. Yes, God will make you a new person, one who is free from the control of sin and the domination of the devil. If anyone is in Christ, the Bible says, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Your new life will not be perfect, but it will have a new direction and a new focus. It will not be all joy, but it will always anchor you in a hope that cannot be uprooted by man or by the powers of this world. Newspapers carried the story of a despairing Miami physician whose wife lay in a coma for 38 days. His fellow doctors could offer absolutely no hope. The poor husband was in deep despair, and in his desperation, he began to practice unusual religious rituals. Dead chickens were brought into the waiting room. Other cultic practices involving animal sacrifices were used. But all of this was in vain. The God of the heavens did not respond. These animal sacrifices are similar to the ones the true God of the Bible required of his people many years ago. But the Bible now teaches that the perfect sacrifice, not of animals, but the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, the sacrifice to end all sacrifices, took place when this Redeemer's work was accomplished. And then all further animal sacrifices became of no value. Listen to how this is described in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 9, and I quote, "But when Christ appeared, the high priest of the good things to come, he entered into a greater and more perfect tabernacle, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, Jesus died on the cross. His innocent and bloody sacrifice was perfect, and his sacrifice was accepted by God the Father as a full and complete payment for your terrible sins and mine." And this predicted crucifixion, this perfect sacrifice, is precisely what the Ethiopian traveler had also been reading about in Isaiah. He was reading about the predicted sufferings and death of Jesus Christ. I hope that you find what I just explained is interesting. I pray also, however, that it helps you in your faith. Don't just stop there. Begin reading the Bible today and begin studying the Scriptures diligently. The Bible is not difficult to understand, and as you study and as you receive help like the eunuch did, you will also enter a new existence. I also pray for you that you will respond as the eunuch did. The Bible tells us that the Ethiopian and Philip continued to travel along the road in the chariot. Then they came to some water, and up to this point, the eager Ethiopian had received some basic Bible instruction in the Christian faith from Philip. Moved by these teachings, the official then said, "Look," he said, "water! What prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip answered, "If you believe with all your heart, then you may." The Ethiopian joyfully confessed, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Then the Bible records that the eunuch ordered the chariot to stop. They both got out. They went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. Truly, this moment was a joy-filled experience, and truly the words of the Holy Scriptures were confirmed, as expressed by the Apostle Peter in his first epistle, and I quote, "Baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." The eunuch also partook in the joy expressed in the words of Titus chapter 3, and again I quote, "Jesus saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." Ladies and gentlemen and young people, I plead with you on the basis of the Holy Scriptures, read and study the Holy Scriptures. Pray for God's Spirit to understand the Bible, and then turn from your love of this world. Say no to sin, and trust only and alone in the Lord Jesus Christ, and be baptized into Jesus to wash away your sins. Do this today, and be saved in Jesus' name. Amen.